Institute.
Back to the weekly roast. How's it going, guys? How the hell are you? How are your hearts? And of course, forevermore. From now until the day that you depart this earth forever. How are your heads? Guys, what's the story? Listen, thank you so much to everybody for listening to the podcast. We seem to have accrued a much wider audience than expected in the last few weeks, and the podcast has been growing a lot. So that's obviously brilliant, and down to all of the original listeners for continuing to share the show. So thank you so much. However, I have been receiving a couple of questions over the weekend, like,
how can I see this?
You know, whenever I put up the question box on Instagram, just like,
what's the stories going?
So basically, for new listeners, okay, welcome to the Weekly Roast. You'll get used to the accent, but the Weekly Roast, every week, okay, people from across Ireland and the UK, and occasionally beyond, one person, but occasionally beyond, people submit their stories about a particular topic, okay? We then anonymise their voices. We change their voices to ensure that their privacy won't be breached, and then we roast them. That's sort of how it works. So whenever you see the box going up on my Instagram, at Megan Mark every Sunday, you can write in about the whatever the subject matter is, and then this is where the roasting happens.
I think it's really important to say, I understand, and I'm only obviously working with you on this for the last few weeks, how the anonymity is absolutely vital, because as a girl who grew up in rural Ireland, there is nothing worse than being the subject of gossip. And I imagine the WhatsApp group saying, is that Emma Nolan talking to Mark Meehan last week? Would make me absolutely shit myself and want to move to America. So we do trust us when we say that we're working to make sure your voice is not recognisable. Amen.
I just think it's interesting that you came in there without being asked. That's the... Also, by the way, Mark Meehan. Megan. Why do people struggle with that?
I don't know.
Nevertheless, welcome back to the Weekly Roast. Those dulcet Tipperary tones you can hear in the back of your little headphones were our lovely producer, Emma Nolan. You don't need to say she's lovely. Just say producer. Our producer, Emma Nolan from Spin Breakfast. Guys, it's great to be here. Thank you all so much for your support. Today is the roast of the boldest thing ever done in your school. Again, I thought the great thing about this podcast for me is like I grew up thinking my context was particularly fucked up and bizarre and unique. After listening to the contributions last night from some people, I had a very placid and boring upbringing. The lives that some of you have led continue to amaze and surprise me. Welcome back to the Weekly Roast. It's great to be here. It's my favourite time of the week. Thank you so much for listening. Oniva, let's go.
Hi, Mark. Love the pod. Can't believe I'm actually admitting to this. But I think it was transition year. My mother worked in a newsagent's and she used to bring home bundles of magazines with the heads torn off and unaware what was in some of them. But I found one of them anyway, and it was an article on all the different types of men's willies. And there must have been 50 frontal pictures on a 4-page spread. And I brought it into school in transition year and was caught with it by my biology teacher in biology class. And she gave me detention, which was, you know, warranted, I suppose. But it was her reaction. She actually didn't know what to do. She was real reserved and very country-like. So I'm sure she wasn't used to seeing the pictures that I had on display with about 50 different willies. But anyway, love the pod. Thanks a million.
I just like, I'd love to see the inside of the editorial room where the decision was made for that article to be written. Do you know, like, I don't really, the old cantankerous sort of newspaper editor, you know, the type who comes in, he smokes 50 fags a day and never doesn't have a tumbler of whiskey in his hand. Listen up, you morons. We need new ideas. Those hacks over in the Boston, that's me doing it. Those hacks over in the Boston Globe are closing in on us. We need exclusives. We need articles. We need real good American journalism. Maybe we could do something on Al Capone, you know, prohibition, maybe all that sort of. Get the fuck out of my office. What a fucking stupid idea. I've got an idea. Go on. We could just do an article on all the willies. Sorry? Just an article on all of the willies. Do you know what I mean? How would that work? Basically just, there's probably, let's be honest, 50 types of willies in the world. There's probably 50 different types of willies. So we do a sort of article yearbook style with a picture of all of those willies. We could do a little description of the willie beneath the picture of the willie. We could have an option in Braille. Do you know what I mean? We could call the article Willie Mandela. We won't call it that. Why would we call it that? Do you know, I just don't, an article on all the willies. Is there 50 types of willies?
I don't know.
I would have guessed around 7.
Genia.
Again, once again, by the way.
When you say types, though, what are you talking? Like just in terms of shape and size or look or...
taste? I don't know. I'm not a mother. I'm not a penile or a I'm not a penis expert, but I just love that there was a magazine with just, yeah, here you go. Oh, turn to page chapter 12 now. Brilliant, page chapter 12. Turn to chapter 3 for an article on the 50, like was it the, I'd understand it if it was the 50 greatest willies. Do you know what I mean? You've got Mandela's dick at number one, maybe. Yeah. Abraham Lincoln, Michael D. Do you know what I mean? Literally Michael's D. Michael's D. You know, if it was the 50 greatest penises of modern history, great.
Yeah.
Oh, Churchill. Forget Churchill. He was a daft racist, okay? He hated the Irish and the Indians. Nevertheless, yeah, look, I don't know. What would they have called that article? A dickumentary? Brilliant. Dickopedia? Brilliant. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. Love the pod. So, yeah, in our school, these guys from Leaving Cert borrowed a pig from someone. I actually don't know where they actually technically got it. But they put a wig on the pig and they kind of let it loose around the school because it actually resembled our principal who also had white hair. It was absolutely hilarious. Bye.
Like, you've heard of Cat in the Hat. You've heard an Elf on the Shelf. Now it's time for a pig in the wig. I just, let's be honest, how, you have to wonder why, okay, firstly, why Pixar haven't sort of optioned the rights for that script yet. But also, what I don't understand is how hard to please and impress were the students of that school where letting a wild pig roam free in the hallway wasn't enough.
Yeah.
You needed to give it a novelty hairdo in order for it to be... do you know what I mean? It wasn't funny enough to just have a wild fucking swine running along. No, get that swine out of my sight. Slap one of those novelty Jamaican hats with the problematic dreadlocks on it, though. Now I'm laughing. That's brilliant comedy. You know, the trotters isn't enough. I just... Oi, Megan, there's a pig oinking its way through the schoolyard. Don't care. Has it got a wig on? One of those little leprechaun hats? I'll be there in a jiffy. Mental. How discerning are those school students? And I also love the way that she just says, you know, borrowed a pig with the casualness, as if she got it in fucking Chartbusters or the local library. Do you know what I mean?
How you doing? I'll have the Lara Croft Tomb Raider, please. Is that the new one with, that comes with the free poster of Lara? Yeah, she's life-size, so you can really get a good look at it and practice. Yeah, no, though, she's a fine-looking York there, Lara Croft, isn't she? So anyway, sorry, I'll have Lara Croft for the PlayStation 1, a bucket of toffee popcorn, and give us one of those large farmyard pigs there, thanks. You don't do wigs, do you? No, that'd be a ridiculous thing to ask. Sorry, of course not. Like, I just, where are you just borrowing a pig? I know that some people might hear my voice and think, those dulcet, infuriating, glass-like South Dublin tones, he has no idea what it's like to grow up in rural Ireland. And maybe I don't, but I do know enough to know that one can't just borrow a pig. Do you know what I mean? Unless you're literally growing up in the Pork City Slopera House instead of the Cork City Opera House. So anyway, long story short, you don't need to put a toupee on the crown of a boar for the situation to be less of a bore. For God's sake.
Hey.
Let's go.
I hate to be this person, but I feel a bit triggered because I was once called a pig in a wig.
Sorry?
I was once called a pig in a wig in school. Quite a lot, actually.
Okay,
in like drama. Yeah, so my dad was the local guard. So I was
he?
A piglet. Yeah, so anytime we went drinking underage or anything, it was like, run him! Quick, your dad's coming!
And what was your dad?
What was my dad?
No, but this is hugely eye-opening. So your dad is a guard.
Was a guard, yeah.
Respect our troops, by the way. Absolutely. Respect our troops, boots on the ground.
Up the guards.
Up the guards. And sorry, they called you a pig in a wig?
On one occasion I had to wear a wig for something in school and then they were like, you're literally a pig in a wig. And
outrageous.
Otherwise, aside of that, I was called a piglet because my dad was a guard.
The nicknames, like we were called, they were just terrible. I think my first ever... No, good luck.
Okay.
Fuel to the fire.
Okay, so my story is many, many, many years ago. The college was open as students were doing exams. So the library was open late into the evening. So we were there studying and, you know, staring at each other. And all of a sudden, the urge just took us. So we got up and we walked around the college campus for ages until we found a vacant room and went up the back of the room and had the most mind-blowing sex. Ugh. It was just absolutely amazing. I think it was just the whole fact of, oh, we might get caught, we might get caught. My God, it was like probably lasted all of 2 minutes.
Good stuff.
But it was as hot as fuck. And I think about it like all the time. It was so good.
Do you remember a few weeks ago on the podcast?
Sorry, she needs a mop and bucket. She's going, go on.
Do you remember you were talking about how Irish people can't do sexy talk? They just go, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
That's literally what that reminded me of.
That wasn't a story for the roast. That was erotic fan fiction about your ex. Do you know what I mean?
Just even thinking about it now.
Like, I also, I've said this before in the podcast, I'm sure. I've never understood the idea of getting excited about the prospect of people seeing you having sex. Like, that's my, oh yeah, the hotel, there's mirrors on the ceilings and on the walls. Oh, brilliant. So I can see a unique angle of my gooch. Brilliant. That'll boost the confidence. Do you know what I mean? Parts of my undercarriage that have never seen daylight, by the way, and never should. I don't want to see them. I just like, the, and also the idea of somebody getting off on the of nearly being caught, that's just anxiety inducing for me. The notion that if I'm having sex and somebody opens the door, they're going to be presented with an image of my pale white arse moving up and down sporadically like a beach ball with Parkinson's. Okay? Sorry, Michael J. Is the worst thing on the planet. Like, also, do you know what actually on that? Have you ever caught a random couple having sex?
No, thankfully. I think I'd be really traumatised. Sex, when it's nothing to do with you, is terrifying.
Yeah. Sex in general, to be honest.
Yeah, like, it's terrifying, yeah.
But also, the thing that annoys me about catching people having sex, you end up feeling like the pervert.
Yes.
So, two instances. Which one will I lead with? Well, this isn't somebody having sex, but just on the whole thing about you feeling like a pervert. I used to live in Dunleary, as many listeners will know. And the summer of 2022, I think it was really not good weather. I went down for a walk on Dunleary Pier. On Dunleary Pier, which is very much a popular public promenade.
Absolutely.
Okay? A woman there. By the way, lest this devolve into some sort of, you know, prehistoric Piers Morgan-esque rant. That's not what this is. I'm just saying, there was a woman there. She had taken off her work skirt and blouse.
No, she hadn't.
And was sunbathing in a bra and knickers. More power to you, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I walked around with Bertie. It must have been 2003 because Bert was on the scene. 2023. And I walked around to the side of the pier, which I always do for Bert to run along the green. And she was lying there. And I literally just like was... It struck me that there was a woman there in her bra and knickers in a public place. And then she looked at me, grabbed her blouse to cover up and scowled at me. And I'm going, no, 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 no. I haven't climbed a conker tree and peering in the back of your, you know, your garden window. You're literally on Dunleary Pier. This isn't me being a pervert.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I was trying to communicate that with her via staring.
I know.
And it's like, then you look like a pervert. Yeah. Number two was when I lived in London, in one of my many sort of house situations, shall we say, I lived across the road from these university students. There was like a flat or a building that had university students in it, and there was this one guy, who a Mexican guy, he was an international student called Luis, I think. Yeah, it was Luis. And I used to always chat to him because I'd be out on the road smoking, and he'd do that thing that essentially every single international, it's the starter pack for an international student, where he'd wander around in sliders, sports socks up to his knees, basketball shorts all year round, regardless of the weather, and have loud FaceTime conversations in public, no matter where he is, and then eat out of family-sized bags of Cheetos, nevertheless. So I'd always have a chat with Louise. One time, I went into my apartment and went to close the curtains for just a gentle, quiet evening of drinking, you know, myself into oblivion.
Oh.
But what did you... Yeah, yeah. No, no. So as I close the curtains, I look down and he's there on the laptop going to town on himself.
No, he's not.
What made it worse
was... No, he's not.
By the way, biggest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
What the worst thing was as I closed the curtains, the movement of the curtains was obviously enough for him to, like, to catch his attention.
Ah.
So he looked up at me as I was closing the curtains, but we locked eyes. No. And again, Megan's the pervert. And I'm going, it's you, Louise. It's you. But I'm trying to communicate with this with him via staring. So he then reaches for the blind with the truncheon on him. He's like knocking over glasses of water and stuff on his desk. And he's trying to go for his blind. And I'm like, you're the pervert here, brother. Not me. Anyway, that's the game. Right, this next one is, as you might say, Emma Olin, derangement levels. Let's go.
Back in 2003 it was, I don't know if you guys remember, Charlie Chalk was actually shot in the leg by two armed robbers who were trying to steal money bags off and knife and stuff. And the guys managed to get away from the scene, but were chased up into a housing estate that led them to school grounds. It was lunchtime at the school, and as rebellious teens that we were, a couple of us were out in the woods in the school grounds smoking, and then ensued getting caught up in, you know, a big standoff with these lads, and in between these two lads the Gardaí. So yeah, we did get in some amount of trouble though, because obviously they wanted to know why we were out in the woods in the first place at lunchtime. So yeah, it was pretty mad moment. But yeah, that was probably the only thing that ever happened in that school ever.
So we've just gone from me having a standoff with a Mexican to this one being in a Mexican standoff, which is interesting, incredible story. And incredible part of the... It got such huge press, that. Don't get me wrong, like, a man got shot in the leg. But still, it's weird that is imprinted on the cultural psyche so much.
Yeah.
Pub landlord gets shot in the leg. That was, so they were on the loose, they were on the lam. For me, this is a prime example of why ditching school was never worth it. I was one of those people that I was brave enough to want to ditch school, but not sort of courageous or bold enough to enjoy it. So you ditch school and then you'd end up just loitering around deserted car parks or abandoned lots. Essentially, places where dead bodies get buried or people have secretive sex with strangers they've just met on the internet. You know what I mean? Everywhere that you used to hang out when you ditch school was effectively like, if you ever seen the video for Glue by Bicep?
Can't see the video
of
my head.
Just shots of, it was just so, ditching school for me was so... It was such a fool's errand, because you spent the entire day really anxious, looking over your shoulder, not being able to frequent anywhere that you might see an adult. It was just absolutely crap.
I think we're quite similar that way. I really relate to that, because I was like weighing up, even at the time, is it worth how shit of a day I'm going to have if I actually leave school, because I'm not going to enjoy it. Well, I'll be so wound up.
Especially when your dad's a fed, so.
Well, that's true too.
He's on the force. That's going to have to form part of your general narrative in the show, I think. Now, there was also one story, okay, I swear my life, every single part of this story is true, okay? And I also swear that I've never told it to anybody, so I'm probably going to butcher it. One time we did this school when we were in fourth or fifth year, me and three of the lads, okay? And I foolishly offered my house to be the...
zone.
Yeah, because I was, mum worked and there's nobody at home. So we were going to hang out in mine all day. The plan was to smoke weed, which already was a disaster. For like, I, of all my sort of interests and pursuits that helped take me away from myself, weed was never one of them, because weed I always found to be too deeply interested. I hated being inside my head. I wanted stuff to take me away from my head, not like, yeah, the worst. So weed and ditching school, like paranoid from ditching school, smoking weed, paranoid from that, double paranoia. It was a disaster. Anyway, I swear to God this is true. Because if this came in to the roast, I would say this is fake. It couldn't be real. So if you weren't there, you would probably never believe it. But the three people that were there witnessed this, and we'll verify it's true, right? So me and the three lads decided we'd disco for the day. I wanted to impress them because they were cooler, or at least socially more consistent than I was. Then there was this new American kid in our class. And I was such a great man of like befriending the new people, then getting bored after 2 weeks. But you know, befriending the new people, I was like, why don't we get Ethan involved? You know.
Sound.
Grant. Ethan was like, yeah, sounds... He used phrases like neato and swell. So he was like something out of the Wonder Years. I mean, fair play to Ethan, but let's be honest, there was a bit of a cultural collision there. I can also say the story because Ethan moved back to Kentucky or Connecticut like after that year. So there's no, I think he works in Spotify now in podcasting. There's no way he's heard this. He'll hear this. But anyway, we ditch school. We go, we're sitting around my house. We decide to open up two cans of Budweiser. That was the beginning. Delicious, sweet nectar. No, that, so we, two cans of Budweiser, and then we got the weed out and we were trying to like roll these like joints. I could never do it. Chubby mitts would never worked. Right. We eventually got one spliff rolled, as they used to call them back in my day, spliffs for the Gange and all the rest. We walk out to the front garden. Ethan was last to leave the house. I say, Ethan, leave the door and the latch.
Oh no.
We walk out to the front garden to smoke the joint. Bang. You hear the door shut. The table is covered in weed, Budweiser, cigarettes, all of our school bags, everything. Ethan, you jerk off. Didn't they ever teach you this in prom? I mean, high school or whatever? And panic ensued. We then realised, I shit you not, that there was a window in the living room. But like, so there was a glass front to the living room, but then there was a three windows on top, but like little ones. You know those little ones that you can only open a bit and they've got, they're old school windows. You can only open them like...
I know what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
3 inches.
Yep.
50 penises. Look at the article if you need to see what 3 inches is. So I'm like, Ethan, you're going to have to squeeze your way into that. He's like, oh, I don't know if I can, Mark. And I was like, oh no, it's not really a question, brother. Like, you're doing it. So there's a lot of deliberation, and Ethan eventually admits that he accepts that he will have to do it because otherwise we're fucked. Mm. I don't have a house key. We're gone. We get two of the lads to bend down. It's like, because to even get into the window, he needs a boost because it's like 8 foot off the ground. Mm. So we get two of the lads to bend down. Ethan climbs. I'm sort of overseeing proceedings. Ethan climbs up on your man's shoulder, the two lads' shoulders. Mm. Lift himself up into the window, okay? And he's like, oh, I can't get up. We're like, you can. We've got your legs. We're like, but then he can't. So his head and torso are through, are trying to get through, but he can't do his arms. So to bring him back out, then we're like, we need to get your arms first, right? Because he's going to have to protect, because he's going to fall down on the other side, yeah, 8 foot down.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So we get him up, and then we're like, okay, we're holding on to your legs. We're going to have to let go of your legs now, Ethan, because he's like coming down the other side of the window. So we let go. Next thing you know, I swear this is true. There's this massive rip. His belt got caught on one of the door hooks, okay? And it completely strips him. And he's nude, hanging upside down, swinging against. And because he's upside down, he can't reach up because his trousers are stuck up in his shoe. And it's just his nude balls and dick getting smushed up against the window. Absolute fucking chaos ensues. One of my friends, Sean, genuinely starts getting sick. He's laughing so much. He's actually starts vomiting. I have never laughed as I was disabled with the laughter. I was on the floor and his face was going red and he was like, grr, grr. He was trying to like cover up his balls and dick, but he couldn't because he was literally upside down, the trousers and boxers stuck in his shoes. To this day, he was like this floundering nude vampire. Do you know what I mean? It was, without a doubt, the funniest thing that I've ever seen in my... It was traumatic for him, of course. A lifetime of therapy will never, ever sort that out. No amount of CBT or SSRI, any of the above, will ever rectify that poor afternoon for Ethan. But good God, it was the funniest thing. And then he started, I swear on my life, he started losing consciousness because he had been... Because we couldn't even bring ourselves to try and help him because we were laughing so much. Like, it was... You know when you're laughing so much that you actually almost want to be knocked out because you're like, I can't function with this level of what I've just witnessed.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then he died, actually.
Oh my God.
The Undertaker came at 6. We draped his urn with an American flag and sent him on his way. Rest in peace, boy. Guys, I hope you're enjoying the Weekly Rose. That last story, I don't know if it's ever going to do it justice because it's one of those things. Do you ever have that in life where something happens and it's so funny that once, like every 6 weeks or so for about 2 years, you think of it and you just burst out laughing no matter where you are? That was one for me, one of the all-time greatest moments of my adolescence. One of the only good moments of my adolescence. Nevertheless, I hope you're enjoying the Weekly Roast. It's great to be here. Now, as many of you will know, this section of the podcast is usually known as the Willy Willy Bum Bum section, where we include the more sordid and salacious stories from our sexually inclined listeners. However, In a new era of egalitarianism for the podcast, we've decided to change things up a little bit. Now that I'm joined by Emma Nolan as my female co-presenter, co-pilot, producer. Let's just one thing at a time. Nevertheless, you're now listening to the Boys Will Be Boys section, okay? This section is devoted to the tales from many of the male listeners. Now, the following section will be the Girls Will Be Girls section.
Love.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And just before we go to that, I can see Emma Nolan is bursting to tell me something. So go on, what is it?
I wanted to keep this for recording because it's just a mad little story that I completely forgot to tell you weeks ago. So basically, where you lived in Dunleary.
Yeah.
Yes. Next door to you or close to you was a couple with a little dachshund.
Right.
Do you remember this dachshund? Little cute dog, lived close by. Yeah.
Like neighbours.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So that couple, I think they have a baby now and they, I don't know. Anyway.
Yes.
So my best friend, Emer, her sister is best friends with that couple.
Right.
And last year, the year before, Emer was asked when they were away to go and stay in their house in Dunleary for the week and mind the dog.
Right.
So I went and stayed with Emer.
Right.
And then it was just mad because I was like, oh, there's Darren and Mark. That's it. That's my story. It's not great, is it? But I basically stayed very close to you for many days and you never knew. Isn't that weird?
You'd miss his little milky little lips all the same, wouldn't you, Hang? No, I'm joking. Okay, let's go.
Hi, Mark. So the story goes, this was 28 years ago. My brother and two of his friends wrote an anonymous letter to her chaplain. Basically said, we want £500 from you. You have to bring it to the school or to the town park and place it under the slide by midnight on whatever day it was. If you don't do that, we're going to expose all your secrets, your dirty secrets.
Oh, God.
Because there had been rumours about this priest. So the Egypts went to collect the money. And of course, there was people there waiting, Garda and teachers. So they got caught. They got expelled from school for, I think, a week or two. And their punishment, as well as they got expelled, but they also had to go into the church, Saturday night mass, into the church where the priest said his mass, and apologize in front of the whole town for what they did. And apparently some of the locals weren't too happy about that and boycotted the church. And then there was a big boycott in the school.
What?
But eventually everybody got over it. And my brother and his friends were complete legends for the rest of their school days. Because nobody really liked that priest anyway. So yeah, that's the story.
That's absolutely world class. Unbelievable. Where to start? Okay, the lads going optimistically down to the schoolyard just to collect their loot is the funniest thing ever. It's so brilliantly naive and youthful. It's sort of like those, do you remember those fellas a couple of years ago? Was it in Cavan or was it in Carlo? One of the C's, I'm pretty sure, where they got sort of caught for bringing their dead dad.
Yes, in the post office.
Weekend of Bernie style down to the local post office to collect his dole or his pension. Like, apparently, by the way, the only reason they got caught is because, like, they'd given him, like, a swimming hat instead of a normal hat and, like, oven gloves instead of mitts in the winter. Like, completely, they just hadn't thought it through whatsoever. Now, if you're tampering with the body of the deceased, you should, you know, take style into consideration. But I think with these lads, the teenagers, for me, it's outrageous, but the chaplain is more wrong. Why does shame generally form such an enormously large part of our culture? People talk about like Irish begrudgery and all of this. All of that for me stems from shame, where people are shamed for putting themselves out there. People are shamed for acting in any way off the sort of prescribed or expected, modus operandi. I'm not phrasing that correctly, but like, they're fucking children. You see, this is what also really wound me up in school. Now, I was and of course still are stupidly self-righteous to the extent it definitely gets me into trouble. But like, whenever a teacher's response to misbehavior by a student was wildly disproportionate to the crime or perceived crime committed by the student, it's like, you are the adult. There is the obligation on you, just like with parents, like there's an obligation on you to be the adult in the situation and treat the child as a child, not get so personally aggrieved by their bad behaviour that you decide to try and meet them or give them a punishment that's adequate for how hurt you are. Or,
amen.
You know what I mean? Mm. Getting them to apologise to the whole town in front of this church. Good luck. I love that there was a mutiny. And this is just an amazing story. Reminds me of the time now. I tried to swindle the post office once when I was a kid. Back when you used to get phone credit.
Okay, what did you try to do?
So there was like ESAT. Do you remember ESAT Digiphone, Aircell?
Oh yeah, throwback.
Before Meteor, you could either be ESAT Digiphone, which is 086, and then there was Aircell, which was 087. And I think I was 086. And I remember you used to have to print off this receipt from the, you'd go down and go,
hi, can I get €20 phone credit, please?
And then you'd have somebody in front of you going,
when will you do that for me?
And people working in shops used to have to put people's phone credit in the phone for them because they didn't know how to use the phone. Anyway, you'd get this receipt that had like 12 digits or 24 digits on it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why don't I just go down, buy credit, use it, and then go back to him and say, and be like, yeah, that didn't work.
Oh, you divil.
So I did that. I had two of my cousins with me. Brought them down to the post office and was like, can I get €20 credit? Grant, put it into my cousin Emily's phone. She got €20 credit. Fine. And then went back and I was like, hey, yeah, this isn't working. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, yeah, it's just not working. Anyway, I'll just have another one. She's like, well, let's just see now. And I was like, no, it's fine. I don't want to cause a fuss. Just give me another one. She's like, let's get to the bottom of this. Next thing you know, the guards are called. Who's sitting in the back seat? Ethan, the American fucking rat. He's just another pig in the wig like yourself. Let's go.
So I was sitting down the back of the class and in my Spanish class and the teacher went out of the classroom to get something out in the office. So I ran up to the front and took the keys of the room out of her bag, locked the door I got her bag, emptied all the contents out of the desk, turned her bag inside out, threw all her stuff back in and unlocked the door. I bagged her. I didn't teabag her now, but I bagged her.
Sorry.
And she came back in and she was fuming, proper fuming. And she never found out who it was. There was one time when I was in PE and we were all getting changed in the changing room and we have a Dyson hand dryer in there. So one of the lads had dared me to go up and dip my balls into it. So I got, I'm only 5'4", so I'm 20. So I stood up on the chair. And squatted.
Sorry?
And put my balls in the Dyson hand dryer and they were just like flopping all over the place.
Ah.
So it was pretty funny.
I love the way he quickly, in the first voice note, okay, I love the way he very quickly, and let's be honest, fairly needlessly shoehorns a reference to teabagging into the story when he's talking about putting his teacher's stuff outside of a bag. And then he immediately follows that story up with one about him dipping his testicles into an inanimate object. I mean, when you're putting your balls into vacuum cleaners and being entertained by the way the skin of your sack flutters in the artificial warm wind, that's the sort of sign that you didn't go to school in Mensa, really. Do you know what I mean? It's just such teenage logic. Do you see that thing over there? Yeah, yeah, what is that? Don't know. Somebody should put their balls in it. Do you know what I mean? It's just completely, I don't know. Like, there was actually, firstly, I've never understood the balls. I've always said that. I understand the purpose of the balls, but I've never understood just like anything erotic around the balls or enjoying the balls or touching the balls. I remember there was a rumour when we were in school that there was one person in one of the neighbouring schools and she was renowned for putting ice cubes in her mouth to apparently make the art or act, depending on how you sit, fellatio, to be more pleasurable to the man.
What's fellatio?
Blowjobs.
Right. But is that a genuine word for it?
Yes, fellatio.
Just
phallus is penis, so fellate, to fellate would be to, nevertheless.
I've never heard just, that before in my life.
Yeah, fellatio, I'm okay. Pretty sure. But I don't know, the ice cube thing, I don't know.
It just sounds very cold to me.
And yeah.
Isn't that surely not a good thing when it comes to that part of the male genitalia?
Okay, and then you've got the post bag of the teacher. There are less offensive ways of undermining a teacher's authority, okay? For example, feigning the inability to do long division in first year just to frustrate your maths teacher, you know, until you realise that that means then you have to do past maths for the junior cert. And as a result, when the leaving cert cycle comes around, of course, you've forgotten what an integer is. And then you end up nearly failing the leaving cert and thus embarking on a sort of meandering career in the arts until finally getting your shit together in 31 and making a living off comedy. You know, that's the sort of, who's laughing now, Mr. Dunphy? Still you, good stuff. Sorry to hear about the investigation. It was probably Ethan. I just... The guy here sounds like somebody you'd meet in woodwork class. Mm. Always suspicious of the students. And let's be honest, the teachers in woodwork class. Woodwork class was... people who can hyperfixate on the wood for 30 minutes to make a stool. But then if you ask them to write a paragraph, they start playing with their stool. Good luck. No, you can't. But there's something about woodwork that always brought out a bit of, I don't know, carpentry perversion. Let's go.
Female substitute teacher covered for a couple of weeks when we were in sixth year. And usual bollocks on the first day, you know, everyone fucking messing, making noises. Sliding desks up to the front, la 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 la, and then after 5-6 minutes, she lays down the law and lets out a roar. Well, one of you just tell me where we are in Othello so we can get some work done. And one of the heavies down the back puts his hand up, and she says, "Thank you, you. Where are we?" And he says, "First of all, Mr. Hogan usually teaches with his top off, so if you wouldn't mind whipping yours off, I'm sure you can imagine the pandemonium."
What do you think?
I think there are no stronger women than female teachers in a secondary school.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And of course our nurses.
Of course, of course, of course, of course, of course. I would crumble. I would crumble and die. Or I'd be class at it. I don't know. I think with these kids, you've got to play them at their own game. But then, you know, in these days, how do you retaliate apart from go to the principal?
You see,
something like that.
As much as I was criticising teachers in my previous point about saying they react like, or adults, you know, in adult position in positions of authority reacting, you know, so personally to whatever disobedient kids, that's I feel like teaching, like nursing, like some of those jobs, it's a vocation, like, because it's a job that's so obviously vital to the fundamental and base level workings of a society, but like it would be impossible for most people to do.
There's a story I have on this very quickly, and it's about this guy. I'm going to call him for the purpose of this Sean. His name is not Sean. And Sean was one of these people who was very cool, very attractive guy, and he used to come into school all the time, kind of when it suited him. You know, he wouldn't see Sean all the time. Whenever Sean came to school, he would just be flat out in a tracksuit, like nothing to do with the school or whatever.
What, did you have a uniform?
We had a uniform, yeah.
Okay. Mixed school?
Mixed school.
Okay.
He'd be wearing his own thing or whatever. And I actually wasn't there to witness this in the classroom, but I was in a different class. But I heard all about it. This was the talk at the school for weeks, that Sean was in a particular class and the teacher said, "I'm sick looking at you without your uniform on. Take out anything you've on you there now that isn't your uniform," right?
Oh no.
So she turned around to the board to do whatever she was doing. And Sean said, "Well, the only thing I have on me that really I've nothing on."
Yeah.
She turned around and he was in his jocks.
No, he wasn't.
And he was brought to the principal. I think if memory serves me correctly, his parents were brought in. It was like he did exactly what you told him to do.
And do you know who Sean is now?
Don't know how he is.
No, that's Micheál Martin.
Oh.
That's who Sean grew up to be. Genuinely, he probably works in tech earning 500k a year.
Yes.
The sloppiest lads I knew in school are now closet jocks.
Yeah.
Working in tech, be like, what can I call people instead of? And I'm not going to say it, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, where were we? Take your top off. Good stuff. I mean, I grew up in a private school an all boys private school in South Dublin. It was not exactly a breeding ground for progressive thinking. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't exactly a hotbed of open mind and balanced boys. It was, and by the way, this was like perpetuated by teachers. Like I was called gay by teachers for wearing Converse.
Oh, beautiful.
Not all of the teachers, but there were, you know, there were teachers. Oh my God, some of the stuff. So, you know, I am under no illusions about S thing, but sorry. I'll always remember this. This, just the shirt thing. That was the school environment, right? It was toxic, like really, really bad and whatever. But this lad came into class one time. We were changing after PE and we were in the changing rooms and this guy put on a t-shirt which happened to be pink.
Mm.
Which, of course, by the way, is not anything. That's not remotely interesting or past remarkable at the age of 15 in a private boys only school where it's just like fear and misogyny running through our veins, that like that was everything. So he puts on the pink shirt and that just resulted in a symphony of homophobic slurs and screaming and catcalling and abuse, like honestly just the whole room screaming at this guy, right? And then one guy at the back just shouts out,
"Kiss us on our horses."
Everyone's like, "What?" Everyone just sort of turned around. It was like, you know, the record just spinning. We're like, "Sorry, what the fuck is that?" So he bent over. His name was Ethan. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. Big fan of the show. So yeah, a guy in my school got his nipple pierced out in the yard at lunchtime. One of the girls had a safety pin and a lighter and managed to get it through his nipple after a lot of force. And I'm not sure how long he kept it in for, but they got it in. And as far as I know, it didn't get infected or anything. Another guy in my school got a wank down the back of class from a girl who I was texting as well, which is really annoying. And down the back of Irish class, they put a jacket over his lap and, gave him a little hand shandy.
Wowee.
I mean, just stop, lads. Like, the nipple piercing in the yard, that's somebody who, let's be honest, and I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion, that is somebody who has listened to far too much Tenacious D. Do you know what I mean? This is, okay, one of my great unpopular opinions. You know those viral videos of Jack Black on red carpets doing like fucking lunges and stuff?
Yeah.
The actual nauseating cringe of that. And the comment section, he is a national treasure and must be protected at all costs. Yeah, we need to be protected from him. He's 53 years of age and wearing board shorts to the Golden Globes. You know what I mean? Like the whole, like that is that whole like Jack Black sort of,
and I looked into the mirror and a ghost of all the lands said, Jack, you are a demon boy. I hold you in my hands. Rock!
Cringe. Your dick smells like Doritos. Do you know what I mean? You drank four Gatorades before 9 a.m. You haven't done a... You're 50 years of age going to the Oscars in a fucking Rip Curl t-shirt and a pair of flowery fucking... Excuse my language. Just no. Nipple piercing, no. Give it a lot of wank, no. I got my eyebrow pierced once. Miss Fantasia, the summer of 2002. I'd been to Irish college. It was a traumatic enough experience in Irish college because I went to Frigid and then I scored 55 people in 3 weeks. Then I didn't score anybody for like 2 years afterwards. I went to one of the Ackle reunions. All the men, all the fucking strong, rugged, lovely. There's a Tipperary guy called Tiernan. There was always one like athletic, rural Irish guy called Tiernan who played hurling, had no interest in women, and that only furthered their lust again.
Yes.
And they all the lads decided,
why don't we get our eyebrows pierced?
And I said, yeah, sounds good. So I went in, and the guy working in Miss Fantasia had ball bearings in his arms, so you're off to a straight good stuff with that. And like tattoos on his head and all the rest. And I was really nervous going in. He's put the thing into my eyebrow, and I was like, oh, good. I think I'm going to collapse. And for anybody listening who has fainted, the worst, most terrifying thing about fainting, which actually began my foray into panic attacks and anxiety when I was 14, was that there's a moment before you faint when you know that you're going to faint and you can feel it happening and you just look to somebody and you're like, what? I think I'm... And you're gone. Anyway, I woke up on the floor of Miss Fantasia with vomit all down my front. And this lad with ball bearings standing over going, clean yourself up before you go. That'll be €17. So good luck.
How did Tiernan handle it?
Tiernan was fine. Him and Ethan moved into the US together. They're very happy. Let's go.
How are you doing, Mark? Myself and two of the lads in past matches to sit the back and do helicopters at our willies at the nerds to intimidate them. Weren't doing it to be gay or anything. Just a bit of a crack. Obviously immature though, and we grew out of it fairly quickly once we got to college. Anyways, there was a time when our principal came in, Mrs. Humphreys was her name, and we had to bet who could see, who could do the helicopter on the desk the longest with nobody seeing. So one of the boys chickened out because he was on the shrivel, and like, so it was just me and my mate and Liam. Anyway, sure, when he did it, just a bit of pee flew up and hit the map that was on the wall, and it made a noise, and you could literally see Miss Humphreys' eyes go from around the world map, like, onto the wall where the dribble had, and, like, I think he landed on Mozambique, if I remember correctly, and the way back on their desk where Willie's were, the whole team became a big witch hunt, and had to find out who it was, and eventually we got suspended.
I in the history of this podcast, there has never been a contribution where I've actually just thought, word for word, that needs to be sent and presented to a seriously gifted psychiatrist to understand. Let's just very briefly go through that sentence by sentence. What was it? Me and the lads used to do the helicopter. By the way, for those unfamiliar, the sordid reality of a helicopter is whenever a male produces his penis out of his trousers and he swings it around in clockwise, mostly clockwise motion, which looks like the wing. I can stop doing it now. Which looks like the blades of a helicopter. So me and the lads used to sit in the class doing helicopters to intimidate the nerds. Can't imagine that was too effective.
No. I think the nerds probably would be smarter then.
If I was a nerd and I'm going, okay, I wonder, do I ever want to be in with that cool crowd? I'm good actually. I think I'm actually okay.
Yeah, totally.
You know, so the spinning of the willies at the nerds, like some sort of, you know, Dutch mill. Then there's not in a gay way. No, of course not. Of course, just you and your buddies taking each other's penises out. What could ever be perceived as homoerotic about that? And then what else? We had a game to see who could do it as long as possible. Sorry. Did he say we realised it was immature and had to stop it fairly sharpish when we went to college?
Yeah.
That means there was a window of time in university when they were still doing that. And then this is what's wrong with Ireland. And then Mrs. Humphreys comes in, God love her, and they go, now's your opportunity. Let's see who can go for the longest. So the thing is, by the way, go for the longest, knowing that at some point someone's going to get caught wheelbarrowing, fucking helicoptering Mrs. Humphreys. And then, of course, you splatter up onto the world map. It's a global disaster because the world map, you know, it goes up onto the map, lands on Mozambique, Mozambique, you know? And then just like, imagine Mrs. Humphreys. Imagine you've built your entire life working tirelessly, okay, for the better of the next generation. You've devoted yourself to your vocation as a school principal. You do what you can. You absorb their victories and then they go off as adults and you never get to see them again. But, you know, you're there to nurture them in their teenage years and you do everything. And then you go in one day and you just see three clockwise cocks going fucking a million miles an hour and a little bit of liquid just going up on the map. Guys, I hope you're enjoying the weekly roast. I genuinely think this is my favourite episode of all time. And I know I say that every week, but I also think this is only scratching the surface. We really need to get into some childhood stuff a little bit deeper. So any suggestions for shows, you know what to do. Send me a DM on Instagram at Megan Mark. Please do me a favour, right? If you enjoy the show, send it to a friend and help the show grow. All of that, like, you don't realise the difference that's made. Like, in the last few months, some people have been sharing it. It's just, it opens up the door for us to do so many more interesting things, a la live shows, a la tours, a la all of the above. So please, if you enjoy the show, share it with a friend. We've got a meeting this Friday, in fact, with the whole company. It's like, it's really very exciting, a big board meeting with 20 people around, the marketing team, the commercial team, the blah, 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 the events team, all the rest, to discuss basically the plans for the roast for the next 12 months. So share with a friend and please help us. We've got some ambitious plans. And I just want to thank you all, because none of this would be happening without the listeners. That's the bottom line. So thank you so much. If you are new to the show, you can listen back to all of the episodes on wherever you get them. And as I say, on Instagram, at Megan Mark. Now, the final furlong. Girls will be girls. Girls, as the Beastie Boys might say. What a tune. I've had too much coffee and I'm on new ADHD medication and I haven't got the balance yet right of caffeine versus Ritalin. So,
I hear you.
Let's go.
Went to a convent, went up to the nuns' quarters, stole some of the underdrawers out of the room of the nuns' quarters and put them on a statue in the hallway, a holy statue. I'm afraid to even admit this is chronic. A small town, like, oh Lord.
Don't you love that? No, you don't, in fact. Because pilfering underwear from a nun is absolutely unforgivable. Were they none the wiser?
Hey.
No? Holy. I was trying to
G-string, Jesus string. Nah, sort of just the gusset.
I don't know. You never really think about where nuns get their jocks, don't you?
No, and that's the thing. It kind of worries me that like they were accessible in any way to students.
There's a series that I'm working on aside from this that I shouldn't be talking about
Excuse me?
Because it's still in the works. It's not a podcast. Well, it is. It's a slightly separate thing. I'm entering my Louis Theroux era. Let's go. But one of the things that we were looking at was like, who buys Michael D. Higgins' underwear for him? It's a little bit more. I promise you, that's not the main. But it was formed part of one of the episodes.
Sorry, that's a very interesting thing that's going to take up a lot of space in my brain.
Surely,
today.
So there must be somebody whose job it is in Arsene Outreau who has to go out and get like, yeah, the jocks for Michael D.
That's wild.
Isn't it?
Imagine a non-convict school and like, at the top of the class would be just your random teacher's jocks in a drawer. It's really strange.
Yeah, that's a very good question, Emma Nolan. How do they get access to the nuns' knickers?
Convent, sure, don't they live there as well? The nuns, like.
Okay. You've made me look like an idiot, Emma Nolan.
No, I'm just asking.
Let's go to the fucking next one.
So, Mark, when I was about, I think it was 14, it was probably science class, and we were doing the biology section on the anatomy of the body and that, and we had a teacher, she was called Sister Peters. She was a nun. She was really cross. And I asked her as part of the class, what size is the average penis? You know, because we were discussing that part in the class. And she just looked at me, came down to my desk. She was like, "You out now of my classroom." So I was sent out of the classroom, had to stand out in the corridor. And I was like, you know, I just asked a question. I mean, this is the section that we're looking at here and we're studying. And, you know, kind of, okay, yeah, I knew it was probably wrong what I was doing, but she really irritated me. So I got pretty much mangled, sent to the principal's office, had to then explain to him what the question was that I asked her. And then he was like, right, completely didn't know what to say to me and just kind of dismissed me and was like, it was all forgotten about.
Oh, God.
Okay, so what's the average? What's your average male size, Willie? Let me just think of myself and then take away a couple of inches. Am I right? No, you're not right, Mark. Because gags like that are so tiring in there. It's just, is there any worse comedy than big, I have a big dick comedy? It's almost as bad as
Irish people when it gets raining. Irish people when the days get shorter. Irish people when the...
top fucking red article on joe.ie. Irish football fans when the Olé chant and they're helping the woman across the road and you won't beat the crack but you won't get a chicken fillet roll. Oh, just play... shoot me in the head with a rifle. Nevertheless, what size are lads, Willies? I don't know. I could show you an article with 50 different types. And by the way, as somebody who grew up in Ireland, okay, with a Willie, I can tell you that it's going through puberty as a male in a taciturn environment where people don't talk about these sort of things is so damaging. Like, I had a chat with somebody about this recently where, like, I grew up, and the amount of men that grew up thinking that their bodies were, like, you've no idea what your body is in terms of in comparison to the status quo. And oftentimes the first encounter that you may have with a penis is pornography. And if you remember pornography from the mid-90s, those magazines that were doing the rounds, these things were like fucking drivers. I don't, people have tree woods in their golf bag that aren't as big as the penises doing the rounds in Eastern European holiday porn mags. So it's very tough. Growing up in Ireland as a male, you know, not knowing basically whether your body and your bits are normal. And I know, I can't comment about women, but like, we didn't get sex ed growing up. Mm-hmm. We literally didn't get it. There was no conversation. So there was no understanding of like puberty or like wet dreams. That was the thing.
That's wild.
Everyone thought that I grew up thinking like I should be having a wet dream every third night. Mm. To this day, I've never had one. The only thing worse than going through puberty as a young man were for people like me when you went through puberty when you were no longer a young man. Do you know, I'm pretty sure my voice only broke just before the coronavirus.
I was very late as well.
Do you know what I mean?
Very late bloomer.
At one point in secondary school, I remember hanging around the lunchtime because the lads were talking about how far their balls had dropped. And I remember going like, what do you mean? And then one of my mates is like, well, my balls have dropped. And I was like, okay, well, I didn't know what that was a thing. And I remember going up to like the computer library in school and Googling, is it possible to have alopecia localized in the balls? Do you know what I mean? And then I just Googled lots of pictures of balls. And I found this article, there was 50, well, there's 100 balls, but 50 different Let's go.
So went on a school tour to Barcelona, and we all went out that evening, and there I managed to escape away from the group and went down some alleyway and seen this tattoo parlor. Went in, funny enough, I knew exactly what I wanted. I wanted a Playboy bunny when I wanted it outlined in pink, and they were happy enough to do it. I was 16, there was no issue with anything. So they started doing it anyway, everything was fine, came towards the end, and they couldn't finish it because I passed out. And even though they'd got me back around again, they wouldn't finish it after. So to this day, I still have a Playboy bunny and it's not finished. Went back to the hotel that we were staying in, and it managed to get around the rest of the group that I had got a tattoo, and the teachers obviously heard it. Rang my mother and told her I got minor surgery on my shoulder blade. And she was like, well, they wanted to send me home and all this. And it turned out anyway, I managed to stay for the rest of the trip. And yeah, to this day, I still have a half-finished Playboy bunny on my shoulder, which isn't exactly ideal 20 years later.
I mean, it's interesting. Like, usually the proprietors of tattoo parlors down continental European lanes are renowned for their rigorous vetting process when it comes to prospective clients. I feel like the Playboy brand played a much bigger role back then than it... Like, that
Thank
was a
God
thing.
That's gone. Like, when I think back of how embarrassing it was, I mentioned on the pod with you before the bracelet I got from a boyfriend that was a sterling silver Playboy watch. And, like, I still remember my friend and her, like, belly button ring being a little Playboy bunny.
Really?
Like, why did we think that was cool or sexy?
Yeah.
None of us had a fucking clue what went on in the Playboy mansion in the first place. Like, we didn't really get it, apart from these girls were really hot and the boys liked them. But, like, me wearing Playboy hoops did not make my boobs grow, unfortunately.
I know a guy out in LA who's been there a few times.
Really?
And, like, it's disgusting. It's like the fucking pool in Bondi Beach nightclub. I mean, it's just this. They really had a massive brand for a while.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't put it on my shoulder, but, you know,
I just love that it's half finished. You still didn't commit to finishing it. I love that.
No, I mean, you could potentially change it to the Easter Bunny. So where there's a will, there's a way. Sorry, just now that I think of it, Emma Nolan, didn't you mention when I asked you before Emma Nolan started this job, right? I had to get to know her. So I was like, will you do me a favor and send me just like a little cheat sheet with facts around yourself?
Yeah.
One of the things that you said was that you have a questionable tattoo.
I do. I have many.
You've many?
Terrible tattoos. Yeah.
Give the dear listener.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think I have 8 tattoos now. And there's some I really don't like. So I've got this turtle lad and my sister wants to get him.
Turtle on the wrist, by the way.
Turtle on the wrist. I like that one. It's stick and poke. It's kind of, there's a story behind that I won't bore you with.
Okay.
This is the Dermot Kennedy tattoo. It's from his song Boston. It's lyrics that go, are you bored yet? The sun and your eyes were the only fire. This is meant to be a tribute to the Dublin Mountains. That just looks like a Coors Light logo, which really upsets me.
I can confirm that looks like the Coors Light. Yeah. You're actually triggering me as an alcoholic, so I'm now thirsty.
This is look, there's a lot going on, and we can't regret these things we've done.
No, we can't.
So we have to just roll with it.
It's okay to look back in the past.
Yeah.
But don't fucking stare. Somebody said that to me. I strangely don't have any tattoos. People always say that I look like someone who would have loads of tattoos. Mm. And for a man who was the most impulsive person alive, I don't know how I've managed to not.
Mm.
I don't know. I've somehow managed to not get any. I probably still won't. We could do a potential episode on bad tattoos. Let me know what you think.
Yes.
Okay, guys, the final two. It's been an extra long episode today. I hope you're enjoying it. Oniva, let's go.
Hi, Mark. So when we were about 12, we realised that if you pushed against somebody's chest while they were holding their breath, they would actually faint. So this is what our entertainment was in school for about a month. All we did was make sure to faint all break time and all lunchtime. And I'm surprised nobody was killed, because quite a number of times, whoever was fainting fell against the blackboard and smacked their head. It all came to a halt then when one of the teachers walked in and caught us. But the funniest part was, they didn't even tell our parents. They just sent us around the yard to walk it off and get some fresh air. Good times.
That's absolutely bananas. The American dream, we call it.
Mm.
Did you call it that? No?
No, no, no. I just thought you meant the whole circumstances of not like, we must alert the parents and this was good Ireland.
Oh, it's grossly negligent by the teachers to turn a blind eye. And we are just lucky that more lives weren't lost that way. We call this thing the American dream.
Right.
And you used to have to bend down. So you'd bend. And sorry, the summer that we were doing this was that same summer in Irish College or the Gaeltacht. Irish College. I know people hate the way we say that here, but yeah, like before multicolored vapes and TikTok trends, you know, we just had to knock each other unconscious to get sort of our jollies. But this trend really took over the Irish College that I was in. And basically you'd have to bend down and sort of sit like you're squatting. And then I think somebody would push their hands on your chest. You do like 2 minutes of like breathing, right? Like the girl in the lecture hall with her ex or Ethan going through security in the airport. And then they'd like push down on you or your throat or something. And then you get knocked out. Like, it was so dangerous. The fear, whatever about tattoos, I was never brave enough to do that. I always remember that summer in Irish College, there was a girl doing it and she was getting nervous and there was a huge crowd. Like, I'm talking 50 or 100 kids gathered around her as she was doing it. And her friend was like, Megan, you have to get down on your knees. And then a lad behind me shouted out, force of habit. Everybody burst out laughing. That same guy, in a divine act of karma, shat himself in his wetsuit not 2 days later when we went abseiling. So that's what you get, Joseph. Nevertheless, that Irish College was
carnage.
So it's the one when I went down a frigate, fell in love with this girl, was like genuinely never more in love ever. And because I was 12, you can fall in love in an airport for 2 hours and then fall out of love. It's grand. But fell in love with this girl, was sort of inverted commas, seeing her for the week, kissed her at the first disco, had my eyes wide open. It was a disaster. Didn't know where to put my hands. Thought it would be cool to give people the finger as they walk by the disco. The most tragic thing that's ever occurred in my litany of fucking humiliating things. She broke up with me as a result. So then I went over to the dark side and went through more polos than Volkswagen for the week thereafter, playing past the polo and every other game I could. And then I performed. This is 100% true story. If anybody out there was in Achill Irish College in 2003, let me know. I performed. There was a talent show. And I formed a boy band with three other lads, with me as the main guy. And I formed a rap and I choreographed a dance, right? Yeah. Where me and the three lads, we'd take our willies out, we'd helicopter Mrs. Humphreys. No, I'm joking. Me and three lads, we'd get up on stage and I wrote a rap in Irish. Fuck you, kneecap. I was doing it way before.
Go on.
You don't see me winning any BAFTAs. I got up and I did a rap. I was 12 years of age and I did a dance with this. And the rap was something like,
go on.
Isma Lum Kalini, doing a gyration thing. Isma Lum Kalini, Talkalini on a te, Talkalini on a te. And then you'd be mimicking riding. I don't know how we got away with it. And then it was like, Rinna law on graw. What do we say? Rinna may law on graw. Toshi and te law airs jock on traw. Some mad, complete slop about having sex on a beach in Irish. And then it was like, stop, break it down. I did the Justin Timberlake beatbox from that song that was out at the time, Rock Your Body.
Yeah.
I mean, hideously embarrassing now that I think about it. Nevertheless, 54 scores in the week after. So who's laughing now, kneecap?
Hi, Mark. We weren't allowed to walk down to the village in secondary school to go to the shop or anything, but my friend used to go anyway to meet this guy she was kind of half seeing. So this particular day anyway, they decided to duck into the church for a quick you know what. To be caught up at the organ part of the church where, you know, the high part, by the priest. Yeah, the priest walked in and caught them. Frog marched back up to the school and both sets of parents called in to have a meeting with the priest and the principal. But the funniest part when myself and my friend look back is that my mother had a saying. So say the person that my friend was caught with in the church was called Mark Meekin. It wasn't, but just I can't say the name. My mother had a saying. So if she was at Mass and it was particularly jammed that day, she'd come home and say, God, it was the world and Mark Meekin was out today in Mass, or if she couldn't find a parking space in the town, she'd say, God, the world and Mark Meekin was out today. And my friend would be literally stuck to the kitchen chair, 100% sure that my mother
was sending passive-aggressive signals to my friend that she had heard about her antics in the church with the priest. I mean, being caught with the priest. Being caught by the priest. Yeah, to this day, whenever she hears that saying, she said she goes scarlet.
Love it. Absolutely love it. There's so much there. Firstly, I love, is there anything in times that your mother has, you know, accidentally put her foot in it? You know, there's something there in terms of like the way that the mother's saying this thing that the other person thinks it's intentional, but your mum doesn't have a clue.
Yeah, yeah.
My mum has done that so many times to like where I've introduced her to like a well-known person.
Mm.
And my mum just won't have a Swiss. Yeah. She just won't have a clue who they are. And she'd be like, I'm not going to say the name, but it happened about 6 months ago with this very, very, very well-known influencer, right?
Right.
Who I don't even know very well, but I know them enough to say hello because they know Darren and whatever. And I remember, and I was like, oh, this is my mum and whatever. My mum goes, oh, hello. And she's like, oh, what do you do?
Oh, brilliant.
And the person was like, looked at me as if to suggest like,
will you explain?
Explain
give a
to her.
Bio,
I was like, oh, well, she does this. But I was also like, answer yourself.
Yeah.
Don't look at me as if my mum's a halfwit.
And
you know
don't
I mean?
don't ever expect how famous you are that people are going to know you. That's the worst.
Exactly. Yeah. So you disgust. No. okay, firstly, let the record show that was not me having sex by the organ with my organ. But it sounds like a very good Morgan for this girl and her friend, or the girl's friend and the thing. Shagging in a church, not for me. The smell of incense and old people would be far too much. Oh yeah, can you feel that? What, the Murray Mint that I've just sat on, that I've just taken by as a suppository by accident?
You know what's not needed during sex? Any type of echo.
That's a fucking unbelievable shout, Emma Nolan.
Just not needed.
That's...
I don't know, I'm over there in the left deflate. At the moment.
You deflate in the moment of passion. Like...
Yeah, I don't need to hear that back.
I'm sorry, is it in yet? Is that okay for you? For you? Don't stop.
Fuck.
Just like that. Thank you so much for listening to The Weekly Roast. Guys, I hope you enjoyed that extra special coffee-infused, intense, energetic, borderline nearly 90 minutes of madness today. It's, as always, my favourite time of the week is sitting in this chair and talking to you. And none of that would be possible if you didn't listen each week, because it's just, yeah, thank you so much. I know I thank you every week, but it's important to do it, because if you take the time, it keeps me in a bloody job. So thank you so much. Thank you to our amazingly talented producer Emma Nolan. It's been such a joy to have her become part of the show, and I look forward to all of you getting to know her even more. Emma Nolan on Instagram, by the way, at
three underscores between the M and the Nolan. God help us all.
Emma _ Nolan on Instagram, but most importantly, let's be honest, at Megan Mark. If you have any suggestions for the show, send them in to me. Anything else, any other business, hit me up. I love hearing from you, and I hope you're doing all right. I hope you're having a good week. It's been amazing to have a bit of blue skies recently. The difference that it does for the head is monumental. So mind yourselves, and I'll speak to you soon. Take care.